What can lay people do to help support pastors and other professional church workers? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Holding Up the Prophet's Hand, Supporting Church Workers. You can purchase this new resource by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Holding Up the Prophet's Hand costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Holding Up the Prophet's Hand at issuesetc.org.
At this point, it's going to be that the 61st Annual National Day of Prayer is going to be the largest.
A lot of our groups hold rallies and protests outside the state capitol because, as we know, there are a lot of leaders and politicians who don't really support the National Day of Reason and are more likely to support prayer.
We call it America's Night of Hope. It's 2.5 hours of music and inspiration and just going to try to lift people's spirits and let them know that there are good days up ahead.
Happy days are here again.
The future belongs to those churches who dare to confess their doctrine.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Not that God really needs to hear a thank you. When you get a gift from grandma or from your mother, especially if you're of the female persuasion, you remember to send a thank you card. If you're a man, you probably have to be reminded to do that. It's considered common courtesy, but is there something more than simply being polite or courteous in the Christian's thanksgiving to God? Is it something more essential to faith to give thanks to God rather than just, well, God kind of deserves a thank you? The way Grandma deserves a thank you, doesn't he? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the prayer of thanksgiving for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. A little bit later, we'll get a movie review. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will join us. We'll review the big blockbuster. It's just about the only blockbuster out there right now, the Avengers movie with all the superheroes. We're going to talk a number of issues related to same-sex marriage and homosexuality with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, among them some comments made recently by Vice President Joe Biden on same-sex marriage. He's comfortable with it. There's a Gallup poll out also that says that Americans are essentially split on their support for gay marriage. Now, a lot of it depends on how you ask the question. After a conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute, Dr. Jean Edward Veith and Deaconess Mary Murby will join us to conclude our series with them on family vocation today, the vocations of childhood. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Joshua Hayes is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Crete, Nebraska, and he's author of a recent Bible study in the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Prayer of Thanksgiving. Joshua, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
What is the best or among the best examples of a prayer of thanksgiving in Scripture, and why?
That's a great question. You know, it's kind of like asking somebody what's their favorite Bible verse. They're going to often be disagreements. I think if Luther were your guest today, he might say Psalm 118, and that guess is based off the fact that that was his favorite psalm in his own words. He said that. Another great example that's my personal favorite is Ephesians chapter 1. Where St. Paul starts out saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And this goes on for almost the whole chapter, so it's too long to read. But why is it the best? I think it's the best because it recounts all the deeds of the Lord, even starting from when he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, before the foundations of the world were even laid. And he continues all the way through the whole salvation history until we have even come to faith by the grace of the Holy Spirit.
I want to come back to that, kind of what you're hinting at there, the essence of thanksgiving really being rooted in the saving deeds of God and not in our sense of gratitude. But answer the question I posed there at the beginning, which is there something different about the thanksgiving rendered to God by the believer? Is it different from just kind of sending grandma a thank you card when she's when she's sent you your birthday gift.
Yeah, there's sort of a sense of obligation there that you have to send that thank you note, because if you don't send Grandma that thank you note, then you'll probably hear about it from her. And so there's kind of a sense of this is a have-to thing. Or maybe not. Maybe you're genuinely thankful. But when we give thanks, when we're talking about a prayer of thanksgiving in the Scriptures, we're not talking just about a feeling of being thankful. We hear a lot about that, especially around Thanksgiving time, that people feel thankful or they are thankful. And it almost just means the same thing as a positive attitude. But when we give thanks to our Lord and God, we are doing it based on who He is and what He has done, and not based on our feelings.
Coming back to the example you cited before, Psalm 118, Luther's favorite, how should we be, according to what Christ has to say about the Psalms in general, how should we be understanding and reading the Psalms, and in particular Psalm 118?
Yeah, our Lord told His apostles before He ascended into heaven that everything written about Him, including everything in the Psalms, it was necessary for Him to fulfill. So when we read all of the Scriptures, and in particularly the Psalms, we should be looking for Jesus and see them as written about Him. And so when we read Psalm 18, we see exactly that, that in fact, this is the psalm about Easter, before Easter had even happened.
You say that Jesus fulfills Psalm 118. Go into a little more detail there.
Well, in Psalm 118, it starts out as almost an invitation to a prayer of thanksgiving to God. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." Many of your listeners may say those words after they eat a meal, or indeed even we sing those words after receiving the Lord's Supper in Divine Service 3. So He's inviting us to this prayer of thanksgiving, and then He goes and lists why. Why is it that we're thankful to God? And among these things, He lists that the Lord delivers from distress, that the Lord is on His side, that the Lord indeed delivered Him from death, that all nations had surrounded Him. They had surrounded Him like bees, that He shall not die but shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord, that the Lord is the one who has made this day, this marvelous day, that we should rejoice and be glad in. And in fact, then in verse 22, we find out, well, what is this day that the psalmist is talking about? Well, it refers to the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And the New Testament itself tells us that this is about the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord.
So a couple things there. I find that fascinating. We often, it has kind of become a part of popular piety, maybe of pastors a generation gone by, to say, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, in a completely general sense.
Yeah. You know,
there's no day on the calendar that you can't say that, and it's true. But it sounds like if we're really paying attention to the context of those words originally found, and that reference that you just talked about in Psalm 118, talking about Good Friday.
Yes, we're talking about Good Friday, and it's the other side of that coin, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. I heard those words as a kid too, and I thought Pastor was just saying, you know, God had given us another day, and we should be thankful for that, and that is true. God creates every day. And I heard other Christians say the same thing. But it never dawned on me until much later that Pastor may have meant something a little more by that. He may, in fact, have been referring to what the psalmist is referring to, the day of our salvation, the day when our sins were nailed to the cross, and likewise the day when our Lord destroyed death by rising from the tomb.
Is Psalm 118 not only fulfilled in Jesus, is it also Jesus' own prayer of thanksgiving?
It is. It is indeed. You can put these words directly in our Lord's mouth. In fact, we know that he prayed the Psalms while he was suffering on the cross. He prayed many of them. And there's no reason to really doubt that he did not have all of the Psalms memorized and probably prayed very many of them. And these words fit right into his mouth. I shall not die, but shall live. Die in the sense of be abandoned to death eternally. He certainly died, but was not left in the grave. He says in the Psalms, I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So these are indeed the words of our Lord.
So how does that change? I mean, sticking with Psalm 118 and about a minute before our break, how does it change how we think of the thanksgiving we render to God? About 1 minute before our break.
Well, first of all, it should focus us on what God has done for us first and foremost. So I said earlier that Psalm 118 starts off with an invitation to a prayer of thanksgiving. But as it invites us to do that, it also teaches us how. It walks us through how we should pray in this way. We have to be taught to pray. The disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. And indeed, the psalmist is teaching us how to pray a prayer of thanksgiving, one that's not focused on who we are, but one that is focused on what God has done and has promised to do.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, more with Pastor Joshua Hayes on the prayer of thanksgiving.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
They Were Afraid, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
For to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus, an empty tomb, is not good news, not for sinners, apart from his death for sinners.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift during the 50 days of Easter. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support during the Easter season.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
We're talking about the prayer of thanksgiving, a little study of Psalm 118. Pastor Joshua Hayes is our guest. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Crete, Nebraska, author of a recent Bible study for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Prayer of Thanksgiving. Joshua, make a connection for us, if you will, and we've already kind of stepped very
boldly in that direction, that Thanksgiving really centers in the saving deeds of God in Jesus Christ, namely his death and resurrection. So it seems no coincidence that the earliest Christians would see their Thanksgiving centered around the Lord's table. That's, in fact, what they ended up calling the thing, thanks or Thanksgiving. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, the scriptures actually use another term for this type of praying. They call it a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I think that, well, first of all, Lutherans are a little uncomfortable talking about sacrifice, or at least we've become a little uncomfortable because we're very aware of how that can go wrong. For example, in the Roman Catholic Church, where the emphasis in communion is on what our sacrifice to God instead of what God is giving to us. But the scriptures do explicitly tell us that we have been called to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Indeed, 1 Peter says that we are a chosen race and a royal priesthood, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and calls this proclamation a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. And so in connection with Holy Communion then, your pastor is going to say, lift up your hearts, let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. And so in communion there is prayer of thanksgiving for what we are about to receive. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a lovely little book about the Psalms. And in there he begins with a quote to the effect of, "The richness of the word of God, not the poverty of our hearts, should determine our prayers." In other words, it's very easy for us, when we're saying thank you to God, to fall into idolatry, to fall into a self-centered kind of prayer about us and what we want and our will be done and all the good things that we have done or want. An example of this kind of prayer of a nasty prayer of thanksgiving, would be the Pharisees' prayer. In the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee prays, "I thank you, God, that I am not like other men, sinners," and so forth. His favorite Sunday school song must have been, "I just thank you, God, for making me me." But you see how that type of prayer quickly becomes very self-centered. But in the scriptures, we are to fix our thanksgiving not on what we give ourselves or what we think is good, but indeed what the Lord has promised to give and has given.
We have only about a minute here before we wrap it up, Joshua. With all this said, with allowing Scripture to reorient what we believe and think about Thanksgiving, what is the comfort to know that the prayer of thanksgiving isn't about my sense of gratitude, isn't about the depth of my gratitude, but in fact, always and only about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? What's the comfort there with about a minute?
The comfort there is knowing that when we pray, whether it's a typical prayer where we're asking God to give us things, or if it's a prayer of thanksgiving where we're thanking him for what he has given, or any combination of the two, that we're not praying as to get something out of God in the sense that we have to do this in order to get a stingy God to give us something that we want. This, in fact, is the eternal purpose of the church, is to worship God. And when we do this, we're simply treating God as God, looking to him as the one from whom every good and perfect gift comes, looking to him as our only source of help. And that is the comfort, knowing that he is indeed our source of help in times of need and our highest good.
Pastor Joshua Hayes is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Crete, Nebraska, author of a recent Bible study for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Prayer of Thanksgiving. Joshua, thank you.
Thank you.